is nowhere.
All right, man. Welcome to Crow 777 Radio. This is hour one of episode 584. Jason Lindgren is with me and Gabrielle Brick returns. You can catch her previous episode, number 537. We're going to be covering healthy things. And one of the things she provides is a really good cacao. My wife and I have been using it. My wife actually loves it for the coffee. I'm not as much on coffee as I love coffee, but I don't think it's that great for us if you use it too much. With that said, welcome, Jason.
And a very hot good morning.
Yeah, I had to actually turn on the air conditioner. This is year two of air conditioning. This house never had it. But welcome, Gabrielle. Welcome back.
Thank you so much, Crow and Jason and Rose. I'm happy to be here again. It's an honor.
Why don't you go ahead and tell folks where they can find you, your work, your stuff?
Sure. Okay. So you can find me on my website is the easiest, GabrielleBrick.com. From there, you can link into my Telegram or my Instagram, and you can sign up for my newsletter as well if you want.
Okay. Well, before we get started here, your two boys, Maximilian and Alexander, actually sent me handwritten notes. And in these letters, there are a couple questions that I'm going to answer right now. So let me scan it. And I want to say to the two boys, thank you for your comments about the movie Shoot the Moon. And let me get down here. Okay, so here is a question from Max. I have a few questions. First of all, do you have a favorite book series? For a series, I think it's going to have to be Dune. But I will say you're growing up in a time where Dune and the Lord of the Rings are taking on a different meaning than they used to have because of the Hollywood movies. Reading Dune is probably a little bit above your grade level, unless you're really, really ahead at your reading level. But the original series by the father, Herbert, is probably the best series book. But you go on to mention that you're really into dragons. So I was going to offer this to you. And again, I think these might be, your mom will have to look because it's been a long time since I've looked at these to make sure the age range is appropriate and the content. But there was a series my father gave me when I was about 17 called The Dragon Riders of Pern. And I'm referring to the original trilogy. You might find that interesting. And there's another one in the same vein called The Rift War Saga. And those are interesting. And I'll state that I feel it's really, really important to try to constantly read above your level. To me, that's how you really get going. And anyhow, here is another question. Do you have a favorite song? You know, I really don't. That changes all the time. But I must say, whenever I hear the song Wonderful World, it always gives me a smile. And lastly, okay, the last one talks about your interests in animation, and I'm not sure if you're aware of Hayao Miyazaki, but I would recommend highly some of the best animation in the modern era. Two films, one called Princess Mononoke by Miyazaki, and the other one called Spirited Away. And also, your other interest that you list here, you might want to catch either the book or the movie called The Neverending Story, and I think that's it. I think that is all the questions.
Oh, that was the best, Crow. Thank you so much. They're sitting right here nodding their head and smiling.
Well, I want to thank you too. It's so nice to actually get a handwritten letter. That's a big deal to me. It means you took the effort and you truly put your heart behind what you were doing, or you wouldn't have put out that much effort in the day of email. But if you guys are ready, let's jump in.
Great.
How you want to do it, Jason? You want to go point by point?
Yeah. So I guess we should just start with an explanation of what adaptogenic foods are.
Okay, great. So adaptogenic foods are foods that I like to call them foods that have an intelligence where they go into your body. And depending on what you specifically need, it will give that to you. So I'm going to use maca as an example. Maca is a root, and it's one of the adaptogenic foods that we'll be talking about later on, but this is an easy way to kind of comprehend what an adaptogenic food does. So maca, for instance, if you're someone who needs a lot of energy and you're feeling lethargic, it will actually boost your energy. If you're someone who's kind of a speedy, right? You need tweaked out, but not because of anything, but maybe stress, right? It's going to help you regulate and chill out. And the same would be for even your sexual desires. If you're overstimulated, it will calm you and bring you into a balance. If you're understimulated, it will bring you back to life. So an adaptogenic food goes into your body, has an awareness and intelligence, and figures out what you specifically need and gives it to you.
All right. Well, then let's jump into the adaptogenic foods. We'll start with cacao. And you had sent me, I believe, two kinds. One was like a powder and the other one was like little chunks. Both of them are very rich and they do well in coffee, but I like to just eat the chips plain. They're not really sweet, though. But let's talk about cacao.
Sure. So I kind of want to back up a little bit of
okay.
how I discovered cacao before diving into the amazing magic of the food. But so David Avocado Wolf, who I know that you know, was actually my very first mentor who I learned from firsthand. I traveled with him for about 10 years. And that is when I fell in love with cacao. I can't even believe it's over 20 years now. But cacao came to me. So I was someone who was getting sober. Right? I was out of balance hormonally. I was strung out, if you will. And both cacao and maca saved my life, so to speak. I know that's a bold statement, but what they did was they elevated my experience in life. And that, to me, is something that's very important to share with people, because that's, to me, the golden ticket. That these foods, these powerful foods, right? Let food be thy medicine, right? Can bring you back to life, can create balance, can create spiritual awakening, can create connection, right? And so cacao for me became a very personal alchemical agent in my development, which honestly led me to my career of helping people. So I just wanted to let that in.
Do you feel like these foods helped break the addiction cycle?
1,000%. 1,000%. So funny story. So I had been living in Manhattan. I was bartending and I was looking for a way out. I was trying to be sober. And I used to go to Barnes & Noble. I'm sorry for all the meowing. I have a cat sanctuary. Anyway, I went to Barnes & Noble. I used to do that to basically, you know, let the universe speak to me and give me a message. And once was the Celestine Prophecy. Have you ever read that?
I haven't, but I'm aware of it. I've seen it.
Yeah. So that was kind of the first clue in. And then I went one day and it was one of those days where I was like, please God, give me something. And I saw three naked men in a tree. And I was like, what the heck is this? And I open the book and I start reading it and I slam it shut and I became a vegan raw foodist overnight. And David Avocado Wolf was one of the authors. Well, this is how it all started. I literally left the city within less than 6 months. I was working for the only gourmet raw food company on the East Coast. And we hosted David and then I became David's assistant. And that's basically where it began. So to your point, it absolutely changed the game for me, because I don't think society doesn't teach you how to actually love up your body and give it profound nutrients. And cacao is one of those foods that not only is it helping us decalcify our pineal gland, which we can get into those tidbits later. I'm so passionate about that aspect of cacao, but it's also filled with over 300 compound chemicals that support the function of the body, right? Releasing anandamide, serotonin, dopamine, all of these things. So did that absolutely help bring me back into balance and break the cycle of addiction? I think so, 1,000%.
So if you don't mind, do you mind mentioning what kind of addiction it was that you were breaking? A lot of people in this country right now trying to break addictions.
Yeah. So cocaine was probably my favorite. And I actually felt more calm when I was on cocaine. That was easier to break for me than alcohol. Alcohol was really, really hard. And that was because of the emotional attachment that I had to alcohol, right? I had a relationship where I actually thought it was a living personal friend And the only reason I knew that was because as I started to really do the work and ask the question of like, why, what is going on? Why can't I break this? And I had gone to AA and that didn't really feel appropriate for me. And I was walking down the street. This is when I still lived in Manhattan, and I saw a liquor store and there was a bottle in the window, you know, how they would do the display. And I looked in the window. I went, oh my God, I miss you. And I heard myself say that. And I went, oh my God, you're talking to an inanimate object like it's a living, breathing person. Well, in retrospect, as I've grown spiritually and delved deeper into alchemy, I would say that absolutely there was something I was connected to. You hear what I'm saying there?
Well, there are spirits in those bottles, according to the label.
Exactly. And so I really, at the end of the day, feel that the power of these foods that are also spiritual alchemical agents, it took that to bring me into balance. And also what the journey with David and the food and cleansing my body and being introduced to these powerful foods really did was it brought me back to nature. It brought me back to my body, right? It made me stop and go, wait a minute, why am I even drinking this? Why am I eating this? Why am I doing this to myself? What's the relationship here? Am I stuffing? Am I angry? Do I hate myself? Do I love myself? What the hell is going on? And that conversation in and of itself, I think, is really important. And it's one of the things that I bring to the table a lot is every bite, every sip is an ode to our spirit and our body, right? And it's a message of love or not.
Well, he's a good teacher. Even though we grew up in the same town, I think my wife might have been aware of him. He was a bit younger than us going through school. I didn't know him back then. But when I finally met him here, the walk from my house to the beach, I think he identified, I don't know, 15 or 20 things that were food. And I was aware of about three of them and just identifying almost every plant we walked by. But anyhow, let's pull it back around now and let's get into the cacao.
All right. So cacao, I think, all right. So I was thinking about you because there's such history to cacao. Did you know that it used to be used? It was so valued that it was used as money.
Wow.
Yeah. I think that is so fascinating and such a deep call to really looking at, first of all, the Latin word theobromine translates to food of the gods.
Well, I think there's an idea, if I'm not mistaken, maybe in Central or South America, that only the upper crust of societies were allowed to have access to it.
Exactly. Exactly. It was for the, basically the king's Montezuma, right? He had an entire vault full of cacao beans, right? That's what he had in his vault, cacao beans. I think that speaks a lot. So when you're looking at the history of cacao, they keep bringing up a man that I can't find any information on him. His name is Geronimo Piperini, and I wondered if you might have.
Wait a minute, is that a guy from the Vatican?
I don't know. So when I have tried to search his name left and right, I cannot find anything except for the fact that he's connected to some war surgeon from the 1700s. So Geronimo, so why I got curious about Geronimo Piperini is because he quotes cacao, chocolate is a divine celestial drink, the sweat of the stars, the vital seed, divine nectar, the drink of the gods, panacea, and universal medicine. And as someone who has been drinking cacao now for, when I started to do the math, I was like, oh my God, over 20 years now, daily, it absolutely is a sacred food that cues you in to the magic of nature. I think it brings you back alive and connects you back to yourself, to the center within, which is God, which is nature. Also in 1753, there was a Swedish scientist. He was the one who actually named the genus, the Theobroma cacao, because he thought it was so important because it was the basically Central America who used to actually take cacao, mash it, and add water to it. And that was the beginning of cacao. And that was back in the 1500s. Edible money, they called it.
Kind of like salt.
Yeah, exactly.
What were they using it for? Was there any sort of, I don't want to say religious, but ceremonial use or anything like that?
That's exactly what it was. It was ceremonial use. It was also, again, this is, they were saying that 100 cacao beans was equivalent to getting one turkey.
They must know something about the cacao, maybe from a spiritual level, that maybe we're not getting. I mean, we're talking about people who rightly identified gold as being the blood of the sun. There's a level there, but you've got to wonder, we're acting like maybe it's just really fun to drink or it tastes really good, but it seems like there's got to be a knowledge of how critically important it is in the role it plays as maybe healing or healing food.
Well, exactly. And I find it very interesting that most of the history is not able to be found outside of some of these pieces that I'm citing, right? It's the same paragraphs over and over and over again. So as we were talking about the royals, well, the emperor of, he was Francisco Cervantes Salazar, and the emperor's cacao warehouse had 40,000 loads, which is over 900 million beans in his warehouse. Like, that's what he had instead of gold. Now, knowing, so I've been in cacao ceremony, not out in Guatemala or anything like that, but I've been in cacao ceremony here in America with people who have been to Guatemala, who have traveled with David. And I know firsthand that you can drink cacao in a very specific way and it alters your consciousness. Right, you become poignantly aware of the world around you.
So is this by preparation or by volume?
Both. So for instance, you would take, and it has to be raw. And so here's the difference. So again, I find this all very interesting, right? Raw cacao is very different. So we all grew up eating chocolate, right? But chocolate in, and I used to actually manufacture, I was the first person to manufacture a raw bean to bar chocolate bar. And I was in Whole Foods, and that's back in 2007. And I was the very first one. And there's a very big difference. And the reason I'm sharing that is because I have a bit of an understanding of manufacturing of chocolate, seeing as I manufactured raw chocolate, which is very different than regular chocolate. The moment you roast the beans, you change the chemistry, right? You also cut off some of these aspects that allow you to actually tap into what I consider the spiritual alchemical properties of cacao and the medicines. Also, milk blocks, if you put cacao with dairy, it has an enzyme inhibitor and blocks some of the potentiators, right? Like the anandamide release.
Which is something we do in this country commonly, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Is there a longevity link associated with cacao?
Yes. Yes, there is. So basically, its spiritual claims is that it is, the reason it's the food of the gods is because it will lead you to a life of longevity, right? And awaken you to yourself. There's a couple of stories I've read throughout the years where, oh, what's your secret? A woman 106 years old, what's your secret? I have chocolate every day. You know, she's also smoking a pack of cigarettes. So we've got to take everything with a grain of salt, but I find it very interesting.
When you were talking before about altering consciousness, I mean, is it an extreme volume and a special preparation? Do you know what goes into that?
So what I would do is I would take the raw cacao. Now they make the paste for us. Like, now you can buy the raw paste. And what you can do is take the raw paste, put it in a double boiler, and you want to make it, I don't have my calculator here, like a scale, but you would want to do a few ounces of cacao paste, the raw paste, over a double boiler so that you slowly melt it. Then you're going to add, then this is what the ancients did. Then they just added a pinch of cayenne, vasodilator, right? Now, cacao also, whatever herb is with it, it drives it deeper into the body. So this is part of my excitement and passion around combining it with powerful herbs and adaptogens, because now you have a food, a driver like cacao, that's going to take whatever's with it and go deeper. So when you're making these ceremonial drinks and you're adding a pinch of cayenne, a little bit of cinnamon, and a little bit of vanilla, and you're drinking an espresso size cup of cacao, it completely, so it's warm and it's, I don't want to say it's not pasty. It's like the viscosity is like drinking almost like a syrup. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Is there an oil associated? Is there an oil separation when you cook it up?
No, it's a high fat. So you just would whisk it and you could add a little bit of, like they used to do, a little bit of warm water, but I don't like doing the water because it, if you don't have your temperatures perfect, it will actually congeal the chocolate or the cacao and turn it into like a brownie like consistency. So what you do is either warm up the water, make sure it's hot, and then blend it. If you want to keep whisking it, I add actually a warm coconut milk to it or an almond milk. And that, for whatever reason, I think because it's fatty, maintains the structure of the cacao being a nice thick syrup.
Is it only water soluble? Is it also soluble in oils?
Well, it is a fat. So if you put oils with it, if that's what you're saying, like you could put other oils in it and it will mix.
That's crazy. So like if you're talking about an ounce, that seems like it would be a lot.
Yes. So you have to measure it to your cup. I would need the scale to weigh out the paste. The chunks are different, right? And so I'd have to weigh out the paste and then I would melt that and pour that into espresso cups.
So I could do that with the little chunk chips that you gave me, right?
100%.
And actually, I think I've gone through so many of them. I don't have many left, but I'm going to have to give that a go, I think.
Yes. And disclaimer here, what it does is it activates neurotransmitter activity, right? So it has your neurotransmitters acting at such a high speed that you feel very alert and focused. So if you do this at night, be prepared to be up all night long. Yeah, it was something. So here I had come off of booze and drugs, right? And was now in these amazing cacao parties where we would be drinking shots of chlorophyll and then drinking cacao and having these spontaneous dance parties all night long and having deep philosophical, you know, conversations, right? That was my entry and exit, my exit from what I would call the matrix into this whole other realm, which is why I feel so passionate about it.
You got to wonder what someone ingesting it in this way that was already like a priest or someone who might be clairvoyant, the kind of amping they'd get from that. Crazy Jason, did you get any of the cacao? Have you tried it?
Yes, we have tried it. Rose and I made protein pancakes one night a couple of weeks ago, and we mixed the paste with maple syrup and spread it on there. We both did that. And it was really good that way. I attended a cacao ceremony a few years ago while we were doing filming for the film Terrain. And it was served in, I guess, a little bit bigger than a standard espresso cup, if folks know the size I'm speaking about. And it was very rich. Now, there were quite a few people there. I think there was like 200 people in attendance or something like that. It was a very full room. But it definitely had a very uplifting feeling. It was really good. It was very rich. Almost reminded me like a cafe mocha, like a mocha latte kind of a thing. But I thought it was really, really good. It was supposed to be raw. They had like a little ceremony to go with it. So it was a very cool experience.
Yeah, I'd be all about trying the cayenne or a hot pepper with it as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So to that point, the uplifting, it literally releases anandamide, which is our bliss chemical, right? So that is one of the greatest. So I was very depressed before I found all of this. When you think about, even though I grew up where my mother made a lot of homemade food, I still got your classic American, standard American diet, right? And then you think of the drugs and the alcohol and what that did to my serotonin levels, right? The anxiety, the depression that I was going through. And enter something like cacao, which all of a sudden is bringing my dopamine back into balance, right? My serotonin, excuse me, back into balance, giving me the dopamine that I need, helping with my feeling uplifted and happy, right? These are really important factors, not to mention it's actually one of the highest scores on the antioxidant scale. So it's over like an 800 on the antioxidant scale, which means it is by far the richest antioxidant on earth.
Well, we should keep moving down the list here. So let's get through at least the aptogenics here in the next few minutes, because there's a couple things here that I want to have time for. Let's talk about maca.
Okay, awesome. So maca, I love maca. So maca has been around for thousands of years. It's been said, you know, a little bit of the history, that Incan warriors used to take it before battle. So this is amazing, though, for women too. Women do not shy away from maca. Maca as actually, okay, I remember when I first had my first cacao and maca drink, and I literally thought they drugged me because I felt so high. I was like, oh my God, what's happening? Did you put something in my drink? And my friend was laughing. He's like, no, it's cacao and maca. And I was like, what?
Hi, how?
I guess I would relate it to maybe pot, you know, where your mind, like you just feel, or mushrooms or something, like when you just feel like so acutely all of a sudden aware of your surroundings. Does that make sense? You know, that kind of high that I'm talking about?
Like you feel a little more dialed in.
Okay. So that I literally was like, what did you put in here? And they're like, no. Now fast forward. This has happened to me when I've given it to somebody who's never had it before. They're like, Gab, what did you put in my drink? And I just start giggling because I'm like, oh my God, I totally know what's happening. And so maca, oh my God, I love maca. Maca and cacao brought me such peace and balance. I feel like, you know, I was looking for love in all the wrong places and I was overstimulated and all of this, you know, depressed. And cacao and maca brought peace and balance and joy to my life and health, right? So it was this whole package. Maca is incredible, incredible for energy, sustainable energy. So cacao and maca have this beautiful synergy where you bring them together and you have sustainable energy. So instead of drinking a coffee, this is how the whole elixir piece came to be. Instead of drinking coffee, I make a cacao, maca, and other herbs. I'll put medicinal mushrooms. And now I kind of play with it because I've been doing it for so long. So it's kind of whatever mood I'm in. But this, you want to talk about sustained energy without the crash, focus, right? This is the combo right here. And maca is also incredible for the libido. So as I was saying earlier, if you are someone who's completely shut off, you're offline, maca, tons of maca. If you're someone who's overstimulated and looking for love in all the wrong places all day long, maca will actually bring you, and this is what I was saying earlier also about the adaptogenic qualities, right? It goes in, what do you need? It's got this intelligence and knows how to adjust the body. So then it will calm you down. I've also used maca on the clients of mine, the female clients who are going through menopause. It will get rid of hot flashes. It's amazing. I've had so many women come to me, whether they're not getting their cycle, their cycle is incredibly painful, they're in menopause. It really doesn't matter where you are, but if you are challenged with your cycle and your fertility, right? Maca makes a huge difference, as does ashwagandha and shatavari. Right? All of them combined create this really special cocktail. So Crow, I think, and Jason, I sent you, and Rose, the Glow is, I believe, the formula. It is. Glow is my hormone formula. Now, what does that do? It brings you into balance. So that is something that I created. First of all, clients were like, can you please stop telling me to put 17 scoops of something into a blender and can you just put it into a bag? So that's why I finally packaged them, which I did years and years ago. It was called Sun and Mood Organics, but I just rebranded and that's the new branding that you have now, Crow.
I haven't tried that one yet, but maca is a root, right? And if I'm not mistaken, it's either related to or in the cruciferous vegetable family, isn't it?
It's a radish.
Hmm.
Yep. So smell, I'm also, I believe in your body tells you if you need it, right? Like there are days, you know, and okay, so let me back up. So maca, everybody is different when it comes to dosing. And we talked about this on the last show because people were asking me about neem and there is no one size fits all. Everybody's body is different. My focus is bioindividuality, right? So now let's take someone like me who was coming off of what I was coming off of. I was taking 6 tablespoons of maca in order to feel sane. My mother, on the other hand, could not take more than a quarter teaspoon because it would rev her up too much. So this is what I mean by everybody's body is different. And there's an intelligence and a way for you to determine where you are and what you need. And one of those is holding it. Are you leaning into it? Or are you feeling like you're wanting to pull away from it? When you smell it, does it smell sweet and nutty? Or does it smell bitter and kind of like a radish, right? Then maybe you shouldn't have maca that day.
It's also, I think, been attributed to preserving cognitive functions. And I'm wondering if you're aware of people using it to combat dementia.
No, I wasn't. No, I did not know about that with dementia.
Yeah, I think so. People have given me maca over the years, but when I started looking at it, the maca I was given was kind of a paler, tanner color than everything I was seeing. So what color do you think is the right color when you look at maca? It's almost like a yellowy tan.
Correct.
Not a bleached out whitey tan, right?
It should definitely not be white.
Yeah, it's like a bleached out whitey tan is what I was seeing. And it didn't have the best smell. So I just didn't try it back then.
So they also have gelatinized maca and raw maca. Now, gelatinized maca goes through a process and they're saying, oh, in Peru, they used to roast them. I haven't been to Peru, so I don't know. But my experience with, and so that's where they're saying, well, we gelatinize it in order to get it to how it was traditionally in Peru. Having said that, because of my mentorship and training in holistic health, I really lean towards the raw state of food, the living aspects of food, or the natural preservation of food. So sun drying it and turning it into a powder to me feels more akin to sustainability and function than putting it through a process that's going to quote unquote gelatinize it. Does that make sense?
Jason, did you try the maca?
No, I haven't tried that yet.
Well, what I noticed that's unusual about maca, I just did a lookup to see if it was, and it is supposedly related to the cruciferous vegetables. But what's unusual about it is I don't think it's very common when you hear both the libido for men and women affected in a similar way. So that seems unusual to me.
It's so my boyfriend and I, I'm going back a long time now. He was my boyfriend at the time. We had so much fun together, and we would make a hemp cacao maca ice cream. And it would be like our little giggle to each other, right? Like, hey, you want to make some hemp cacao maca ice cream? And that was our like, oh, okay, it's sexy time, you know? And we would make, you know, you put copious amounts of maca.
What is a copious amount? I mean, how much are we talking here?
Yeah, we would put in probably, we would make a pint and split it. And so in that pint, we would have probably about half a cup of cacao nibs and a quarter cup of maca. And then we would use hemp seeds and coconut and blend that into kind of like a creamy. We'd use the coconut meat, the fresh coconut meat, and make it nice and creamy, add a little bit of honey or maple syrup and freeze that and eat that and just, you know, have the best time ever.
Sounds really good, actually.
Yeah. And so to go on with the adaptogenic foods, so there's maca. Now, ashwagandha is another amazing food that I absolutely love. Ashwagandha is actually like an asparagus root, right? And it can smell a little bit weird, but it again will help. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm getting it confused with shatavari, I think is like the asparagus root. But they both, shatavari and ashwagandha, both again are working with the sexual organs and reproduction. All right. And so what they do is they go in again. So here's the thing. I'm going to use women because that's really, you know, what I am well versed in. So if you're estrogen dominant, right, the shatavari and the ashwagandha are going to help you come into balance, and so will the maca, right? If you're lacking estrogen and you take them, it will help you come into balance. Right. So this formula where you blend the maca, shatavari, and ashwagandha, which is the GLOW recipe that I have with the cacao, what it's doing is it's literally taking your hormone levels and bringing them into balance. So whether you're going into menopause, whether you're having, I mean, like heavy, heavy, unhealthy cycles, or you're not getting your cycle, this is a way to bring that into balance. Now, men, right? I know you guys have your cycle too. And sometimes you get all like, nah, I'm not interested in things. And this is a way for you to kind of rev your body up as well and come into balance. I will say that the Shatavari, I feel, is more for women than men, although men absolutely take it. For the men, I really lean into maca and tribulus. That is a really awesome combo to help you elevate your hormone function.
You know, it's interesting. I'm still trying to prove to myself whether it's in the cruciferous family, but I'm finding that maca is also referred to as Peruvian ginseng and the ashwagandha as Indian ginseng.
Yes.
And I'm just bringing that up because a lot of people are familiar with ginseng.
Yes. Yep. 100%.
But anyhow, go ahead. I interrupted your Shatavari.
No. So Shatavari is known as seven husbands for the women.
Dare I ask why?
Yeah, exactly. It's supposed to help you. They say get, now, please, ladies, don't take this and run with it. You know, it's, they say it helps you get plump and be happy. And what that means is it helps you boost your hormones so that you are in balance and have a libido and are excited to be part of life. And, you know, let's just, I just want to throw this point out there. You know, our sexual energy, our sensual energy is it doesn't mean we have to do anything with it. That's our creative fire, right? So we can just be alive in our sensuality, our creative fire. And that's how we tap into creating content. That's how we tap into birthing wonderful ideas that leave legacies for communities, right? It doesn't always have to relate to sex or sexual encounters or anything like that. I just wanted to put that in there because I think that's a very important piece that our society has gotten so, oh God, perverted, right? And everything is just overt. And yes, we are talking about our sexual organs and reproduction and libido, but I believe that our fire, that belly fire, is essential for us to have the zest for life and to create, right? And to come together with passion.
When I did look up on Shatavari, I noticed the language changed immediately. Now it has become, it might help, it may help.
Yes.
And whenever I see that, I can tell they're trying to blunt the power of whatever herb or whatever it is I'm looking up.
It has an Indian sound to the name. Is that its background?
It is, actually. Yep. It comes from India.
It's in the Ayurvedic herb canon, apparently. So spot on.
Yep, that and ashwagandha as well.
All right, should we jump to the men's tonic?
Let's do it.
All right, we'll kick off with pine pollen. And here's another one that I don't think I've ever tried.
Pine pollen is super cool. So it's literally the pollen from pine trees. And it actually helps the body produce testosterone, right? It's a testosterone booster. It also has anti-inflammatory properties. You're looking at high amounts of vitamin C, right? It's incredible to help with immune function, but it's also something that we can take for testosterone production, right? To strengthen the testosterone production. So what I love about it is, for me, when I became estrogen dominant, I was able to tap into the men's tonic, right? Utilizing something like pine pollen and tribulus and maca combined to bring me back into balance. All of them are going to help with that, especially the tribulus, which we'll get into after the pine pollen. But pine pollen, again, is one of these amazing, provided by nature. You go out and just before they burst open, you gather them, you can make tea with it, you can make tinctures with it, you can take the yellow powder, which is the pollen, and put it in a jar, right? And then scoop a teaspoon of that into your smoothie every day or into your cacao elixir. You can also buy it. But when you think about the pine tree, right, and the Native Americans and what they would utilize it for, right? You're getting into a whole, not only is it beneficial for testosterone support, but now you're also looking at the benefits of longevity and health overall. And honestly, that is what I love about these liquid nutrition aspects, if you will. You make an elixir in the morning, and I mean, just think about the nutrient level of something like cacao with over 300 compound chemicals that support the function of the body, something like pine pollen, ashwagandha, maca, you know, tribulus we'll get into, and you look at, oh my gosh, it's anti-inflammatory. It's got magnesium, manganese, copper. It's got anti-inflammatory properties. It's crazy off the charts in vitamin C and antioxidants, right? It helps with treating certain allergies, right? Especially the pine pollen will help with that kind of histamine response. And so does cacao, actually, oddly enough.
Is this any pine pollen or is it a specific type? And by the way, does it smell and taste like pine trees?
So that, no, it doesn't smell like pine trees. However, I have had pine pollen tinctures that it's very slight, but it's reminiscent. Do you know what I mean?
Sure. Particularly when you're making a tincture, you're kind of elevating certain aspects of it, or it can. But again, is this the reason I'm asking is because here where I live, there's a time, I think it's usually in August, when the pollen comes out of those pine trees.
Yep.
At times it is so thick that I can't even see across the street. I mean, you have to get your car inside. And I'm just wondering, you know, I could collect that, but is it any kind of pine pollen?
So that's a great question. I don't specifically know the actual tree genus, if you will, outside of it being the pine tree, because I know there's obviously several pine trees, but it's, I always see by me too. So that I don't know. I should probably know that.
We'll keep going and I'll try to look it up while we're talking.
Okay. So anyway, so that's pine pollen. Again, it is something specifically for the men. If you're looking to boost your testosterone, you're looking to boost your immune function, adding pine pollen with the cacao, your cacao elixir is going to be a game changer for you. Again, it's also, you're noticing a theme here with these adaptogenic foods and these foods that we're talking about. There's hormone balance, energy and stamina, right? We all need more energy. We all need the stamina to get through our day. And so these foods, that's what they are. They're foods and they're medicines. And so they do need to be treated with respect, because you can take too much and you'll get out of balance. So you want to be mindful of how you're utilizing it and pay attention to your body. But all of these things are amazing ways for you to, again, in men specifically, boost your testosterone. And women, it will help us come into balance with our own testosterone, boost your immune system, energy, stamina, mental focus. The histamine piece, I think, is really important too, with all of the allergies, like honey and bee pollen. These are things that in your local area, if you're gathering local honey and bee pollen, this can help with allergies. Pine pollen is something that's going to do the same. Right? It's going to help with the histamine response. It's going to help with allergies and boost the immune function.
All right. So I found it and I confirmed at least these three in more than one place. But the overall consensus is that pine pollen can come from a variety of species of pine trees. Some of the top choices include Mason's pine, which is Pinus massoniana, Chinese red pine, which is Pinus tabuliformis, and Scots pine, which is Pinus sylvestris. But you can easily look up, the reason I'm bringing this up is because I think I want to try to do the harvest, because I'd never thought about it. And it comes down in like bucket loads. When it would not be hard for me to collect this. So I'll look it up and see if the pines across the way are a proper kind.
I think that's awesome. That's exciting. I don't have any pines on my property.
They're not supposed to be here. They're not really endemic until you get further towards Cape Cod. But we are coming to the top of the hour. So, Gabrielle, why don't you tell folks one more time where they can find you and your work and your products, and then we're going to take a short break.
Okay, great. So you can find me at GabrielleBrick.com. That's GABRIELLE, B as in boy, RICK.com. And from there, you can tap into my newsletter, check out my products, find me on Instagram and or Telegram.
And we have a promo code for everybody. It's CROW777, CROW777. And that gets you 10% off your order through July 31st.
All right, there it is. That's going to bring hour one of episode 584 to a close. The cacao is awesome. I'm going to be stocking up again on the powder and the little, I don't know if they're not nibs, but it's the little chunks. Particularly, okay. Yeah, if you're a coffee drinker, it fits in that really well also. But hour one is free to everybody at pro777radio.com. Members know to log in to get the full episode. They get access to all the forums. They can create them, all the comment sections, and they can stream the two-hour film Shoot the Moon anytime they like. Also, for members only, all my new scope work will be posted. And with that, we're going to take a short break and we'll be back with hour two. So I hope to see you logged in as a member. I'd like to wish you all a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era. There it is. Cheers.
Belief is the enemy of knowing.